You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, I think if you look at our history, that I just have a very firm belief about, you know, believing that there's greatness in everyone and pushing people to refine that greatness, but then also giving them everything possible. That when I look at Jacksonville, a big reason why I took this job, I just believe because I love the city of Jacksonville, I love the state of Florida. The fact that there's the tax issue, which, you know, when you're in college, you didn't have to. It was recruiting. I never talked about tax issues with recruits, but that's reality when you start talking about professional football. It's a place you can live very comfortably 12 months a year and raise a family here. So I refuse to believe that this cannot become a destination spot for a free agent or for a great player. And we need to make sure that everything's in place to have that player want to be here. And I'm not just talking about from August to December, January. Maybe it's a dream, but that's a dream that I'm going to hold on to, that I just someday see our players living here, training, getting the best training possible, and enjoying a life in Jacksonville, Florida.
What up, Jacksonville, on a Tuesday? This is your man, Tony Wiggins, with Locked On Jaguars, your daily podcast where it's your team every day, and you can subscribe wherever you get your podcast. I'm not going to bury it, man. I'm going to get right to it. That was Urban Meyer, courtesy of Jaguars.com. It was last week, in fact. And I played that at the beginning of this podcast because I wanted you to hear him talk about how it was his goal to talk about state taxes, and he talked about facilities. He talked about destination. And now I want you to ask yourself, and I'm going to preface this by saying this. Congratulations to all of the players that the Jaguars signed yesterday. I think they'll help the team. I think they got value. And I'm looking forward to those guys being here and helping the Jaguars grow. I don't think the Jaguars wasted any money, man. There's a couple of things I don't like they did. But that's not the point of this show today. I'm not going to even give you an outline of where we're going in the first, second, and third segments. We're just going to roll with it, all right? We're just going to lay this right out, okay? Listen, we can sit here and try to trick ourselves all we want to because we want to keep our positivity going and because we want to not ruffle feathers and because we want to acquiesce and pretend that, okay, so they're the experts. They know more than we do. Yesterday was a bad day. And yesterday sent some bad signals and bad signs. When you heard that opening, and even if you have to go back and listen to it again, that's Urban Meyer selling Jacksonville to big-time players. You don't have to do that to draft picks because you have the rights to draft picks. And you have 4 years and sometimes 5 years to convince those guys that this is the place for them to be. And then you have things like tags and franchise tags and early extensions to where you can continue to have those guys under contract. You don't have to talk to guys like that. Like that. That was for free agents. Since when do you have to talk to special teams players that way to convince them to come here for a few million dollars a year? Since when do you have to talk to backup running backs that play for you in college to come here like that? Since when do you have to talk to journeyman wide receivers that way to convince them to come to Jacksonville, Florida to play for Jacksonville? Since when do you have to talk to undrafted linemen and reserves to come here and play for Jacksonville after they've been given, from what I understand, I talked to my man Lauren Cox, who covers the Bears with Locked On Bears. The kid Robinson Harris was beloved in Chicago by the fans and by the team. But they rolled out the red carpet and gave him every single opportunity to win a job up there, and it just never happened. So for them, the value wasn't there, and they decided to let him go and not re-sign him. Basically, he's your likable Taven Bryan. That's what it is. You don't think they wanted to get rid of one of those more expensive alternatives and keep him? Why keep Mario Edwards instead of keeping him? Even though they signed Edwards for less money. He's bigger. He's stronger. I mean, he's beloved. I look for his highlight tape. I look for his reel. I saw three different tapes yesterday. I saw the same seven highlights on three different tapes, and each tape was 3 minutes long. I saw the same seven plays. I'm not saying it won't work, and I hope it does. But you mean to tell me the best of the best and that entire spiel and that entire speech, all of that stuff was about the group of guys you signed yesterday? Philip Dorsett? Really? The Patriots been looking for receivers forever, and they had Philip Dorsett, and they let Philip Dorsett go. So the Patriots needed to reset their tight end room, and they get the top two tight ends on the board? You know, we wondered, and here's where I tell you where I'm going today. We wondered if hiring the guy from Iowa who was the weightlifting dude who was the director of whatever department that is, if that was such an egregious miss that people would forget about it. I said they would, and I said they should. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. And I don't think any of this has anything to do with it, so I think they got over it. I think there's another miss that has happened and a miscalculation. There's two, and I'm going to discuss both of them. One is this idea that you could sell that we're going to take care of our players and give them the best of the best with nutrition, their marketing, their value. We're going to give them the most value. We're going to take care of their money. Okay, so let me tell you how this works. When you say as the team that you're going to increase the player's value by winning and increase their value and give them the best nutrition, the best training, the best this. There's somebody on their side that's with them that said, don't believe them. Wait a minute, hold up. You know who that person is? That's the David Mulligettas of the world. You know why Mulligetta's saying that? Because that's what he does. He takes care of their marketing. He takes care of their best interests. He takes care of their value. He helps them with their financial planning. He helps them with their nutrition. They all have chefs. He probably helps set them. Tom Brady has his own nutritionist. Remember that whole fiasco in New England where the team didn't want the guy in the building and all that? You remember? And Tom Brady's around here 49 years old and looking like he's 18, but you don't want his guy in the building. Remember that whole thing? You know how I got like that? Because the guy has his own stuff going on. These guys have their own deals with their own nutrition companies, with their own water companies, different water companies and different protein bar companies and different gyms that they work out with, okay? So my thing is when you start saying that as if it's you're working in coercion or cohesion with these guys and it's in their interests, the guys who are actually doing that are on their side, who are the proven advocates for them, go, wait a minute, hold on. Let's make sure that while they're saying they're going to help you with your responsibilities, the things that I'm responsible for, when we go to the table to see if they're going to do what they're supposed to do, like who you going to play with, who's your teammates, what's the facilities look like, what kind of airplane we flying in, what's the field look like on Sundays, are they going to protect us from the commissioner? Are they going to back us? Are they going to protect us from the media? Are they going to support us in the media when something comes up? And are they going to pay us? And according to my sources on yesterday, they got outbid for all of those guys that you saw going everywhere else, the people that you thought and the people that you heard. And this isn't a case of, well, you guys were just wrong. The Jaguars ain't going to sit here and tell you who they went after they decided to go somewhere else. You heard at the beginning of what Urban Meyer just said, that they were trying to convince people to come here. You think for 1 minute they were talking about special teams guys and backup defensive backs and running backs that were second and third string and wide receivers that are going to be playing for the fourth and fifth. You ain't got to convince those dudes to come here. That's not who he was talking about. And if you think that, then I feel sorry for you. My people tell me not only was it Jonnu Smith, Johnson, the safety. I heard with Jonnu Smith, they weren't even in a ballpark. Dalvin Tomlinson thought it was a joke. Matt Judon was the one. He specifically was asked, why did you choose New England? He said, they chose me. You know what that says? They paid me. They let me know I was wanted. And we can sit here and talk about value all we want. Value is relative. Value is relative. Go buy a house. And whatever it's worth to you, it doesn't matter what it's worth to you. It's matter what that neighborhood says it's worth. And whoever pays it, that's who's going to get it. And if you think you're going to beat these teams because you can coach them up, this ain't college. You got another thing coming. I'm going to ask this question. Has Urban Meyer missed the mark by continuously talking about guys that he coached in college? Have we all missed the mark in thinking that guys like Curtis Samuel and Kenny Golladay really want to go back to college and do it that way? I love people that raised me. I love my old basketball coach. I love my old drill sergeant. I love my old supervisor. I love my grandmother and the things that they did that made me the man that I am today. I don't want to go back and live with none of them because now I've had a taste of being an adult and I don't want to do that anymore. Let's talk about that on the other side of this day after free agency here on Locked On Jaguars. BetOnline.ag, man, it's where you can go to get you some money. And I got to tighten up, man, because I've been losing my focus and not really paying attention, and I've been missing out. Could have won me more and more scratch ever since I won my Super Bowl bet on Tampa. And I got to do it on BetOnline because it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA and college basketball and the NHL are in full swing. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, and the promo code for your 50% welcome bonus is, of course, Locked On. All right, man, this your man, Tony Wiggins. When I say I've been losing out because I haven't been using my resources. And one of them is the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicap expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by BetOnline.ag wherever you get your podcast. So this isn't negative Tuesday. This is just the reality check because I was caught a little bit off by surprise too. And what we have to understand, and I want you to think about this and ponder this as we look forward to segment three. Coaches, Urban, of course, could talk to agents. Trent Baalke could talk to agents. But for the most part, Trent Baalke did most of the talking because yesterday was really about negotiation. No one talked to a player yesterday. If they were going to talk to players, that would have been Urban and the position coaches, which more likely would have been a strength for the Jaguars. Trent Baalke sounds like a coach from the 1990s. The old drill sergeant, he sounds like a guy who could hang around Tom Coughlin. and he speaks a lot about value. How well does that bode on a day when a guy's real excited about getting paid and getting some money? You want to hear about value, or you want to hear about somebody who really, really wants it and he'll do anything to get you? That's the difference. You want to hear from you want to hear from Balky, or you want to hear from Belichick? And it seems like to me, because Urban hasn't done this very much when assessing value, that he probably wasn't the biggest mouthpiece in the room yesterday. And the biggest selling point for this team up to this point had been the fact that, one, they're getting Trevor Lawrence, and two, that Urban Meyer was going to be the coach. But to me, it feels like yesterday was a Trent Baalke moment, and I don't think that that is something that favors Jacksonville. We'll talk about more of that in segment three. Here's what I'm going to talk about in segment two. We assume that any and everybody that played for Urban Meyer that was going to be a free agent, whether it was Jack Rabbit, Janoris Jenkins, Carlos Dunlap, any guy that hit free agency, Curtis Samuel, and I'm not saying it still won't happen or it won't still happen. Even Zeke Elliott, if he got out there or whatever. Anyone that crossed paths with Urban Meyer wanted to play for Urban Meyer, and they were going to. Carlos Hyde showed up, and I got a problem with them. In your first year, you're paying a 30. That's not a Jimmy Johnson move, by the way. Urban says he wants to, he's going to emulate Jimmy Johnson. There's no way in hell Jimmy Johnson would have signed a 31-year-old running back. You can tell me different. He'd have drafted one. He ain't signing a 31-year-old running back. I don't care if it's for $2 million or not. Urban said he wanted to add more explosiveness to the room. How's a 31-year-old running back giving you more explosiveness? I don't get it. And there are people out here that say it doesn't matter who the running back is. Okay. That's your first move. I'm lost. I think Carlos Hyde is a good player. I think Carlos Hyde would have been a good player for the Dolphins, the Patriots. Why ain't you signing James White? You want more explosiveness and to be more dynamic. I just don't understand Philip Dorsett at this point for this team. I really don't. I mean, the guy's played with Tom Brady and wasn't necessarily taking the top off the defense. What makes you think he's going to come do that here? Here's the answer. They couldn't get anybody else. Whether you want to realize it or not, that kid James Johnson said, and it was widely reported that the Jaguars were right in the thick of it, I came to Cleveland, but another team offered me way more money, and I'm paraphrasing it. If another team offered you way more money than you came to Cleveland, it must have been something you heard about or the way that the other team was talking where you ain't like it. Or the fact that Cleveland is a playoff team that's on the precipice of winning. So all that talk about state taxes didn't even matter, did it? And let me tell you how that might be overplayed a little bit too. Yeah, you don't pay any state taxes when you play at home. And then when you go on the road to that game at Tennessee and you go on the road to that game at the Houston Texans, you don't pay any state taxes. So that's seven games, considering one of them's in London, eight with the Texans game, nine with the Titans game. If you go to Seattle, that's 10. If you happen to go to Dallas, that's 11. But there's four or five other games minimum that you pay state taxes in when you go to those places. If you go play three games in California, you're paying state taxes. You are being taxed on that money. So when teams come here, they don't pay state taxes. So teams share that advantage when they come play Jacksonville. And if a team hits the trifecta where they play Jacksonville, Tampa, and Miami in 1 year, that's three games where they don't pay state taxes. So if you're the Titans and you run through this state and then you play all your games at home and you play the Cowboys, you probably ain't got but three or four games where you're paying state taxes. And then don't let them go to Seattle. They might get away with, you know, not paying state taxes for damn near all of their games. So that's a little bit overplayed. Especially if a guy is actually going to make a little bit more money somewhere else, and then he can cover that also in endorsements because he's in a bigger market. agents talk to dudes about that all the time. And that whole bringing that up as a selling point is it might be something that I whisper to a dude, but it's never something that I think I'll bring up in a press conference anymore, because it's like, really? You know, maybe if I'm buying a house, I say that, but selling somebody a house, I wouldn't bring that up in a press conference, because I think it's kind of a played argument. But this whole thing and this notion that everyone wants to go back to a college type atmosphere, because that's what Urban's doing differently. If you think about it, this whole selling point has been, we're going to do things differently. And it's almost as if we're coming here, but we're going to do it more like college, where we're really going to lean on guys, and we're going to give them and provide them all of the facilities and all of the things. That's cool to a 22-year-old, especially a guy coming out of college. But a 27-year-old that's been in the NFL, that has learned how to move in the NFL, a lot of that stuff he doesn't need, man. And he's already adjusted. He don't want to go back to that. He want to come to work, do what he has to do, go train on his own. He wants to go to his own recovery facility that he has invested in, that he's a partner in, where his cryo facility is. He wants to work out with his trainer. He has his masseuse that's coming by his gated community. His chef has prepared his meals and his meal prep. He sits in his whirlpool with his wife and plays with his kids. He has his own schedule. He doesn't need you to do those things for him anymore. And sometimes we think we're doing guys don't want to go back. I'm thinking that these 26, 27, 28-year-old men don't want to go back to that, where there's 150 guys walking around the building telling them, well, you need to be here, you need to be here, and doing every single thing for them. And I'm wondering now if that's a little bit of a misstep. Whereas where you think you're actually helping them, it appears. See, we got to understand something. They got another guy in their ear going, oh, no, man, that's crazy. You know, that sounds like it's helping you, but really what it is that's like too much control. I didn't even look at it that way, but you got to understand, these guys have someone else in their ear, and they have other people in their lives with interests. And they don't want to give up the part of their lives and their connection to you, where the organization actually has more control disguised as support. You feel me now? And right, wrong, or indifferent, even if that's not what Urban's intention is, I'm telling you what the advocate on the other side might be saying it is. Because at the end of the day, they could point to this and say, all right, it's support. Check this out. What did they do with Andrew Norwell? He said he loved him. His favorite player at Ohio State, right? Right. He made him take a pay cut. Support that. You want to support me, you support me with money. You don't tell everybody you love me and say you want to give me the best, but then ask me to take less money. But then say I was one of your favorites. See, that's what the advocate is telling people. Look what he did to his boy. If y'all don't think that this is the way it works, you're out of your mind. We're going to hit it, man, right here at this spot, and then we're going to come back on the other side. We're going to talk about Trent Baalke. We're going to talk about what could end up being a problem and a detriment. And you try to give people the benefit of the doubt, but you know, this is a part of the job. I ain't trying to start no trouble with nobody, but it is what it is. It is what it is. It's Locked On Jaguars, man. On a Tuesday on free agency, we'll see what happens for the rest of free agency. RockAuto.com. I tell you what, I have no questions about them whatsoever, because they are proven to be the go-to for all of your parts and accessories for any vehicle you may have. They will give you the best prices possible, whether you're a professional or a do-it-yourself client or customer. I know this for a fact because I am both a client and a customer. And you can go to rockauto.com right now and get the very same low prices as anyone else. Go to rockauto.com and use when you click on, they're going to ask you, how did you hear about us? And I tell you, what I need you to do is put Locked On in that box. because that lets them know you were sent there by us. And that makes you family. And you're going to get the same low prices. And when you order, somebody's going to knock at that door and deliver your parts to you. It's rockauto.com, 20 years in the business, family-owned company. rockauto.com, the best place to get your parts and accessories. All right, man, so back here on a Tuesday, here on Locked On Jaguars, Built Bar and the Built Bar Madness is going on, man. Been telling you about Built Bars forever. Best tasting protein bar on the market for a while, 18 great flavors. Well, now Built Bar's having their bracket for March. And what they're doing is they're going to say who the champion is. They're going, the champ is here. They're trying to crown that champion, and you need to go see who today's matchup is at BuiltBar.com or at Built_Bar on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order of Built Bar. And tell me which one you like the best. I know which one I think and I know is going to win. In fact, yeah, I know who's going to win it, but I ain't going to tell you. Go log on every day to vote the best tasting Built Bar on the market. High protein, low calorie, low sugar, high fiber, and it's amazing because it's covered with 100% chocolate on all bars. It's Built Bar at BuiltBar.com. All right, man, it's not gloom and doom. Free agency isn't over. You know, it could be very well just a learning process, in my opinion. This is Tony Wiggins with Locked On Jaguars. I know a lot of people were disappointed. Some people were even disappointed to the fact that they were trying to tell themselves something different other than what they actually saw based on what they expected. And I'm just not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to do it. And that's why I played that clip from Urban Meyer earlier. And I got a whole bunch of ammunition. The clip is full. I got clips and clips and clips of things that have been said by not only Urban Meyer, but Shad Khan, Trent Baalke about the approach. And I'm not going to ruin the day for the new Jaguars that were signed here. I'm going to wish them the absolute best. Did the team get better? Of course they did. Whenever you add players that you did not have, you got better. Speaking of the guys, I do think Roy Robinson Harris gives them some size and potential versatility, but I do think he, on a team that, this is the very important part, on a team that wins a championship, I think he's a rotational player. If you think anything more than that, then what you're believing in is you're believing their ability to develop these guys. And I think player development is cool, but I think when you talk about player development, you're talking about them hitting on everybody in order to win a championship. If all you sign is developmental players, then that means that across the board, you have to develop everybody in order for you to get to where you want to go. And then you have to hit on every draft pick in order for you to get to where you want to go. Jamal Agnew, what does he provide? I think he's a good special teams player. I think he's hard-nosed. I think he's going to get that ball. He's going to stick that foot in the ground, and he's going to go. I think he's going to protect the ball. He's not going to fumble. He's going to be reliable. Here's my question with him. With you signing him and Dorsett, depending on the way the deals are structured, I know with him he's on the team because he's a three-year, $21 million guy. Dorsett, will his guarantees guarantee that he's on the roster? If that's so, on your 53, what is Agnew listed as? Because even if he's just listed as a kick returner, he still takes up a 53. Is he listed as a wide receiver where you were scheduled to keep six? So if you're scheduled to keep six, that means now you have five minimum, because that means him, Dorsett, and then the three you already had that was solid on the roster. So that means you leave room for one. So does that rule out you signing another veteran wide receiver? Probably so. So now you only leave one room for one to be drafted. You feel me? So if you're going to keep six, obviously you bring more to camp, but I'm talking about just from a roster standpoint of when you start counting numbers, okay? Rudy Ford, special teams guy, but obviously they count him as a safety. He looks like a guy that in a pinch could give you some minutes as a box safety. So let's just say he's a safety along with the safety they signed late last night from the Chargers, who I actually think is a real good player. So if you get him, you get those two guys along with Jarrett Wilson. Now those are three guys that you have at that position. How many safeties do you keep? Does that mean that some of those young guys from last year are gone? you know, Thomas and all of those guys? Does that mean that their, you know, their days are numbered? Or do you leave room for everybody's favorite projection, which is Trayvon Moore to Jacksonville? So if you keep four safeties, you already have three now on the roster that you're committed to, all right, with the cornerback position. They brought the kid back today, Sydney. They brought him back today. They've signed Trey Herndon. They already have Hendo, so that's three. You're leaving yourself room for maybe two more, okay? So when he says he's going to revamp and reshape the secondary position, there's not a lot of room left for you to do that in a draft contractually with guys that you're going to guarantee. So you're looking at maybe two or three more additions based on the guys that you brought back. Linebacker, off-the-ball linebacker, the interior guys. You still have Jacobs as an off-the-ball linebacker, of course, with Schobert and with Jack. I don't suspect that they're going to look to do anything unless it's BPA, but those are your guys along with Shaq Quarterman. Edge, they went after Edge yesterday and they missed. Judon, Lawson, they missed. Don't let anybody tell you differently. And they may say that they didn't make a play. And I'm not talking about listening to agents. I'm talking about listening to people that know the players. And the players said, yeah, they were tripping. So that's that kind of stuff. Yeah, I listened and I was thinking about it, man, but they was tripping. So I just went with the bigger number. So we don't have to reveal sources, but that's what we're saying. And they can deny it and it's cool, but this is what we're talking about here. So they may still look at edge. And then defensive tackle. Yeah, they looked at Tomlinson too. Absolutely they did. And anybody tell you different, they're not telling you the truth, okay? So, and yeah, they were chasing tight ends too. Sure they were, all right? The first three guys they signed, they were going to sign those guys anyway. The first three guys were sure thing. And the first three guys they signed them anyway because they saw right away that the other guys that they were going after, they weren't going to get them with the way that they were going. Because the other guys, most of them ended up in New England. So Belichick did his job, and I think Belichick ended up signing a lot of the Jaguars' class that they wanted. Look at these deals and pay attention to the first 2 years. If a guy signed a two-year deal, it's probably, even if they say only half of it's guaranteed, he's going to get it all. Ain't no way you sign a guy and gave him a two-year deal and he's not going to eat up the whole deal. But these guys signed these two-year deals. I'd rather sign a two-year deal for $25 million than sign a three-year deal for $45 million and still have basically the same guarantee as the two-year deal. Because in the third year, that team will opt to keep you at that money when you could have gotten free and got a mother load. And the guy who signed the two-year deal yesterday is in a better situation than the guy who signed the three-year deal. Because the guy who signed the three-year deal, by the time he gets free, he's going to be a year older and they're going to use that against him in negotiation. But if you're 25 or 26 yesterday and you signed a two-year deal, you're going to be 27 or 28 when the mother load deal comes in and you're going to hit the lottery. You're literally going to hit the lottery and be free again. So that's why the guys that signed the two-year deals got less money. In the grand scheme of things, they got less money in terms of what it looks like on paper, but really they didn't. So it's a little bit of economics, man, and that's just the way it is. Pay attention to what goes on today. And we'll see, but just don't be fooled by these narratives, man. And I really do believe that this is the thing that I told you guys about when Urban says he's going to listen to assistant coaches and he's going to trust Balky and his staff. This is where a little bit of that tension comes in at, because I think the assistant coaches wanted some things and I think Balky assessed the value to it. And I don't think the assistant coaches got what they wanted yesterday. I think Balky and the scouting staff won yesterday, and I think they were able to probably convince Urban Meyer that the reason why they won was because the value got too high. And when you talk about money, contracts, and value, that's where you can kind of lull Urban to sleep, because that's not his thing. That's not his thing. So this is where Balky, to me, kind of has a little bit of an advantage in this situation. Until at some point, Urban Meyer says, I don't care what it costs, get him. until he's able to do that, or he realizes, and I hope it doesn't hinder them for this whole year. And see, so to the person, and I'm going a little long here today because I want to get this message out. To the person that says no need to do it all in 1 year, or no, and I'm not trying to do it all in 1 year. But you got to be very patient and build the infrastructure of this team. And I'd rather do it slow. And people are trying to say, well, you don't win games in March. Ain't nobody trying to win games in March. I'm trying to win March in March. And I'm trying to win the draft on draft night. And then I'm trying to win football games when it comes to winning football games. You might not win football games by winning in March, but you know what else you don't do? You don't win football games by losing in March either. Okay? So what I'm trying to say is this. Don't try to justify losing yesterday when you know you tried to win yesterday. And just because you didn't win yesterday, the consolation is, well, just because you don't win yesterday, you've never won a game in September by winning March. You tried. You tried to win yesterday, but you failed. Admit it. You actually tried. You tried to sign people. Just because you failed to do it, don't now come back with this, these little cliches talking about, well, you tried. So that's one thing. But the other thing is this. What did the Jaguars do last offseason? Nothing. They signed free agents just like the ones they signed yesterday. They did the same thing. How many Gene Smith off seasons do you have? One is fine. Two, it starts to become like, okay, what are you doing? What are you going to do? You going to do it a third time? Are you going to keep just going out and signing C-plus players? What are you doing it for? When you do it one time, you're doing it the one time, you're fixing the infrastructure so you can start building a house. You don't just keep building infrastructure and over again because you'll never have a subdivision. That's the point. I mean, what are you infrastructuring for? Over and over and over and over and over and over and over. When are we going to see something? At what point do you say, I need something shiny standing up? I want something tall over there. And by the way, they keep re-signing all Dave Caldwell's players just for all of you people that used to criticize and bash that man for his draft picks. I just want you to know that's validation from them that those guys can play. There you go. And I beat up on him too. I just told him he had a problem with team building. It's not the players he signed, it's when he signed them, at the time he signed them, and why he signed them. But alas, we're here on a Tuesday. It's Locked On Jaguars, man. Enjoy day number two of free agency. And let's see what the Jaguars do from here moving forward. Good news is Trevor Lawrence is still on his way, right? Right. All right, keep taking care of each other, man, and we'll be back with another episode of Locked On Jaguars on tomorrow. It's your team every day. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.